Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here with Prophecy in the Spotlight. I got a verse we're going to read for you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It says this, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's pretty specific. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, if you haven't guessed it, in today's program, this is a future event. This is prophecy. We're going to discuss the judgment seat of Christ. Doc is here. Doc has a brand new book. In fact, I have a sample of it right here, The Judgment Seat of Christ, but she'll put that up for you later. And a little booklet, I don't know how many pages it is, 30 or 40 pages or somewhere in there. Real easy to read, going to be very helpful to you on what this is, the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of you, if you're saved today, you're born again, the Bible says you must appear before this judgment seat. Pretty serious thing. Okay, so we're gonna talk about this today. And so get ready. We'll be back. As soon as the music ends, we'll be right back. And welcome, everybody, Brother Goodwin and Dr. Charles Hiltonbiddle, sitting here talking, waiting for the camera to come on. Almost caught us here, but I think we made it barely there. I had something I was telling you about. When I read verses, I can't read the Bible without thinking about all the
words,
what the words
each
mean.
Each word has a purpose, yes.
And I was pointing out to you before the cameras came back on, we must, and I've recently did a study on that little word, the word must. It's pretty interesting. The word must can never be talking about the past. It's always present or future. Mm. And that's a pretty important thing right
there. Yes, it is.
And so we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right.
So, Doc, we're going to discuss your new book here. Do you even know how many pages it is?
28.
28, okay.
Yeah, 28.
Because there's not page numbers in it, so
I don't put page numbers in.
And so easy to read. A guy could sit down in an hour and read this.
Less than that. But then to meditate on it, let it sink in.
Yeah. So I like the fact you got these big headings. I don't know if they can see that, but you got these big boxes with a heading in there.
For each different.
This one
answer
here.
Answer five different questions, yeah.
Yeah, where I'm at in the book right here where is what is the judgment seat of Christ? So that's not the beginning of the book, but let's start right there, Doc.
Yeah.
And that's the first question that I had. In simple terms that the viewers can understand,
sure.
What is this thing in your mind?
Well, when we hear the word judgment, we immediately think about a courtroom setting, and we're going to be judged because we're guilty of something, or we're being charged with something. That's not what the judgment seat of Christ is at all. It's not that it's a wrong word, judgment, because judgment is being passed, but not whether you go to heaven or not. A lot of people think that this, because you just read it, whether good or bad, talking about the deeds in the flesh. But he's talking here about the believer.
Right.
And so it has nothing to do whether you go to heaven or not. It is an evaluation ceremony, is what this is. The evaluation of our Christian life from the time we got saved until our life during time was over. That's what's being evaluated. So a Greek word for this would be bema, like the bema seat.
And that's my next question. You've got
because the bema seat had to do with what we would think of today as the Olympics. But whenever the racers ran, or the discus was thrown, or the spears or whatever, somebody was the winner. Somebody was first, second, third place and whatnot. And so what was judged was how you performed in your event.
Right.
That was what was being judged. And so then you came before the Bema seat, which was an elevated position. And there, not judgment passed down, but awards passed out. And so the judgment seat of Christ is the evaluation of every, because he said we, that means every believer. It is an evaluation of every believer's journey from the time they got saved until they left the realm of time into eternity.
Yep. And we don't mess with Greek and Hebrew here. The only reason that's important is because a lot of people use the word bema seat. So it is important, and that was my second question.
That's the word from which it
bema
comes
seat
here.
Is just another word for the judgment seat.
Yes.
But a bema seat is more like an athletic event term.
And it's not a judge who's sitting up there evaluating the seat. No, you've already done your performance, and so he now is evaluating or judging your performance.
Yeah.
Is what it's about.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to go back a little in the book and start back a little further here. You made a statement here that I highlighted because I thought it was interesting. You said this: just because we as preachers and teachers have studied these things does not mean that every believer knows what this is about.
And
I thought that was important to point out. We preach about this, but
yes.
we don't realize a lot of people have never heard the term.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to print the book, is because I realized that. And honestly, a lot of preachers preach about it and talk about it, but I don't think they really fully comprehend what it's really all about.
I mean, how many people, if you asked 100 people, how many of them could give you the timing of when this happens?
Oh, I doubt if... Very, very few.
Yeah.
Very few.
And I doubt many people have really thought about, well,
that's it.
It's after we die.
It's probably one of the least thought about end time events of all of them. I said a while ago before we started recording, I said, if we ask the general Christian population, list the five events that's going to come from now until the end. What are you going? So the first thing they're going to say is the rapture, which is right. Then they're going to probably say the tribulation. Well, that's not for the believer, but that will take place. And then they're going to say the millennial reign. Well, that's true. We're going to participate in it, but that's really primarily for the Jews. And so, but here's the thing. They never, in all of those that they put together, they will never say the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
Because they don't even think about it. Yet this, when you understand the purpose of it, you realize outside of the rapture that takes the saints out of here, this is the most important thing in all of your life.
And I something that helped me was when I studied the Jewish wedding stuff as far mm-hmm. as prophecy goes.
Yep.
And the way it was explained in that really makes sense and helps you understand what this is.
That's right.
It's the groom at the rapture, the bride is assembled there, and it's the groom bragging on the good of his bride. You know,
yeah.
The beautiful white dress and the good, pure mind. And
well, a lot of the, yes. Well, that's why the Lord used the parable of the man coming to the wedding, but he didn't have a wedding garment.
Yeah.
And because we immediately go from chapter 4 to chapter 5 in the book of Revelation, which, by the way, 5 follows 4. But a window is opened into heaven in chapter number 4, and we see that as a picture of the rapture closing out the church age of chapter 3. And then when you go to chapter 5, you're in the throne room of heaven. And what do you see? You see these 4 and 20 elders. What are they dressed in?
Yeah, white robes.
White robes.
Yeah.
And they have something that they're laying on the sea of glass, crowns. Where did all of that come from between chapter 3 and chapter 5? That's the result of the judgment seat of Christ.
Sure, makes sense.
And because you don't have your crown, which, by the way, in the Olympics of those days, it was a wreath. It wasn't a gold medallion. And so you were given a crown, a reward for whatever you did.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the judgment seat of Christ is all about.
Yeah.
It's an evaluation of a believer's Christian journey from the time they got saved until the rapture or their life is over. And so this is your evaluation. That's why I tell people all the time, you need to understand your Christian life right now, your Christian journey is going to determine what you do, how much you do, the level of responsibilities, and the kind of rewards you're going to have that's going to last throughout the entire eternity. It's all based on how you live your Christian life now, and that's what the judgment seat of Christ is about.
So, Doc, I don't know if we want to get into this. Maybe you want to just make a statement about it. You talked about the importance of proper Bible study to understand this.
Well, I put that in because there's just a lot of even preachers, because there are a lot of people that think they believe in a general judgment. They believe that this has to do with a general judgment, and we must all appear in good and bad, and they don't realize that there's a judgment for the lost, the great white throne judgment of God. There's a judgment for the believers,
that's
the
right.
Judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
And they're not one and the same and are not mixed together. The reason is this. The reason I put it in the book is because there are a lot of people that do not know, and a lot of preachers do not fully understand how to rightly divide the Word of God. They do not know how to properly study their Bible. Yeah. It's that simple.
Yep. Yeah. With that being said, you just brought out one of my questions here. Maybe help them understand just quickly, if they were to have to answer this, what is the difference in the judgment seat and the great white throne?
Yeah, well, the judgment seat of Christ is an evaluation of the believers, and it has nothing to do with the lost world at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is solely for a believer. It's an evaluation. Basically, the bottom line, Dan, it's an evaluation of how you conducted your priestly duties, because everybody that's born again has been made a priest unto God.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it maybe in a moment, but about why does it say gold and silver and precious stone? But so it's an evaluation. The great white throne judgment of God, everybody that's there is there because they did not get saved. They are lost, and they're waiting for the decree to be brought down judicially for the angels to bind them hand and foot and cast them forever into the lake of fire.
Yeah, awful, awful.
I have a book on that, too.
Yeah. So, I like this statement. I highlighted this in the book here. I want you to say something about this. Because this, I thought this was powerful. Knowing that there will be a time when our Christian journey will be evaluated.
Yes.
Should cause the believer to approach their daily living with respect to that future time.
Exactly. That's why I wrote the book, and that's why I wanted to try to encourage people to realize there's a time coming when you're going to face eternity. And time will be almost insignificant in evaluation to eternity.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you count a day? The Bible says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So, I mean, you're going to live forever and ever and ever. And your level of responsibility in the millennial reign and the new heaven and new earth that's coming for eternity, your responsibility of ruling and reigning with Christ, the rewards that you have, the crowns, the soul-winning crown, the testimony of our life, all of this, if you don't live down here in a way that you can be rewarded for that, then for all of eternity, you won't have it.
Yeah.
This life is where we are preparing for what's really coming for our life in eternity.
So let's go back and illustrate this with the Jewish wedding again, as far as the groom coming mm-hmm. to get his bride, take her back to the
right.
Father's house. There's the rapture. The very next thing is the judgment seat.
Yep.
And what about the man who comes and the shouts made and he comes for his bride and there's another man in the room. She's not been faithful.
Mm.
Now that person is still saved. There'll be lots of those in heaven. There'll be lots of people at the rapture.
Absolutely.
That were not faithful to their Lord and Master.
And when the rapture takes place, how many people are going to be in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, looking at the wrong thing?
Yep.
But it's more than just at that moment, Dan. It is the entire, it's the evaluation of
your entire
Christian journey.
Yeah. Yep.
The entire thing.
Yeah.
So that's why he said good or bad. That's why he follows it up. In chapter 3, he talks about wood, hay, and stubble's going to be burned up.
Yeah.
But the gold and silver and precious stones remain.
And there's a haunting verse. I was going to try to save that for the end. I'm not sure it's in your book. It probably is. Yet so is by fire.
Yes, so is by fire.
And I don't know if that's mentioned in here or not. It probably is. Yeah. And I've got a sermon I preached years ago. Ashes or a crown, what will it be?
Right.
Some Christians, they'll have no good works, and it'll all be burned in the fire. It doesn't mean you go to hell. It means
that's what this judgment seat is all about, yes.
But others will be rewarded and applauded and bragged upon. And this
just
is
as God,
something to look forward to.
Yeah, just as at the great white throne judgment of God, the books will be opened, the book of their life is opened, everything is there, because a just judge is going to give full evaluation. So it is with a believer. God is going to give a full and complete evaluation of a believer's life from the moment of salvation to the end of their time.
Now, just a couple of simple things that I wrote down, Doc, and I think we've answered this, but let me just ask him again so for the benefit of the viewers. What is in your opinion, what is the timing of the judgment seat?
Well, I think the timing of the judgment is as soon as we get into heaven.
When
the bride comes into the presence. Yeah.
Okay. And here's another
one. Now, there are a lot of people, let's say just a minute, and we're not going to part company over this. Some people believe that this would be too cumbersome and too lengthy and too drawn out, you know, for all of the ages of the church age, 2,000 years of all these people are going through. So they think that this is done when you end your life, whether you die or it's a rapture. But I believe that it's going to be at that time at the rapture, because that's where everybody gets their white robes, is after the rapture.
Yeah.
And it's not difficult for God to be able to do whatever is needed to be done, just like that in our thought.
You know, that ceremony at the Bema seat in the Olympics is a public event.
It's a public event.
What good would it do to brag on somebody and it's just you and them?
Yep.
The audience is there, the spectators.
And the thing about it is, everybody's going to be there. We must all appear. Everybody's going to be at this place. I think it's in heaven myself personally. I don't think it's on the earth because it's after the rapture. It's obvious.
I think people forget something else. This thing called time.
Yeah.
We can't comprehend it. You know, people asking, there wouldn't be time to do a... Well, what about the great white throne? There's going to be millions.
That's right.
Billions.
Yes,
billions. And each one of them is,
that's right.
Our mind can't comprehend this.
No.
And you can't be thinking that way and understand the Bible.
That's right.
You know, There is no time with God. And so that brings me to this, though. This is important, too. And I know we've kind of already answered this, but I want this to be real plain to people. Is the believer at the judgment seat judged for any sins?
No. Sin was covered on Calvary's cross.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with sin, now, other than an indirect way, because we're going to have, he says there's, you could have wood, hay, and stubble, which is going to burn up, okay? Wood, hay, and stubble could be something that we've allowed sin into our lives, and we're not being judged because of sin, but we're being judged, or we're losing rewards that, because that robbed us of time.
A guy that was addicted to gambling and gambled for years,
right.
He's saved, he's on his way to heaven, he may go to church, may read his Bible. He's a gambler, he wasted half his life. That will be burned.
It's wasted.
It'll be burned. There's no good works from that.
But that's why he said wood, hay, and stubble. And I realize that these are all things that have to do with the earth, wood, hay, and stubble.
And he's using temporal things to illustrate a proof of truth.
And also what happens is we spend most of our lives, because we don't have any choice, we live in this world. So we spend most of our time accumulating material things. And when it's all said and done, this earth is going to melt in fervent heat. It's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And so what it is the things that we have spent our time on and our energies and efforts on things of this earth that are not eternal in nature, they're gone. They melt. But he said wood, hay, and stubble. And then he said there would be gold and silver and precious stones. And the back part of the book, the last couple of pages or so, is an excerpt, transcript from a message I preach on this subject. And it was while I was preparing that message that the Lord gave me an insight. Where do you find precious stones? Gold and silver. Well,
in you, the pressure
you
the...
find them in the priestly garment.
Oh, that too, yeah.
And so,
well,
what
that's
is
pressure? That's pressure. Being in the ministry.
That's it. Every person that's born again, the problem is they don't either get discipled or whatever. They don't grow. They whatever it is. But if they're born again, they're going to be at this judgment. They don't have to worry about whether they're going to heaven or not, because that was settled when they got born again.
Yep.
But the problem's going to be between now and then, all their life was spent in all this stuff and wood, hay, and stubble down here. They never learned any Bible. They never studied any Bible. They weren't faithful in church. You name it, the list goes on. They didn't tithe. They didn't give. They didn't invest in stewardship of their time, talent, or money. And when they get there, they're going to be saved yet so as by fire. They're going to be there.
Yep.
But here's the thing I tell folks all the time. When I get there, I don't want to spend eternity, and I'm glad I'm going to be there. But I don't want to spend all my eternity sitting at the brook of life in heaven, dabbling my feet in the water. I want some responsibility in ruling and reigning with Christ. Because when you study your Bible, you realize that the believer out of this judgment seat of Christ, your rewards are going to be translated into responsibilities, not only for the millennial reign of helping ruling and reign with Christ, but for all of eternity to come. I don't know about you, but I want something. I want some responsibility. But number one, Dan, I want rewards. So I can be seen as in chapter number 5, I want to be able to have something to lay at the feet of Jesus and say thank you.
Yeah.
But I learned a long time ago that our crowns, when we lay them at the feet of Jesus, everybody has the idea that that's it. Oh, no. They're translated into responsibilities that you're going to wear and carry throughout the eons of time to come.
In that sermon that I did years ago, Ashes or a Crown, I illustrate, imagine going to heaven, showing up at that judgment seat, all your works are burned, and you've got a bag of ashes. And you have to lay that down while others have done something for the Lord, and they're laying down their ashes or a crown. It's up to us.
It is. And that's why the devil works so hard by using the world and the flesh and the devil himself. The pride of life and what our eyes see and all these things. The devil works on our old man. Why? To keep us from having anything to show for all of eternity.
Yeah. Well, folks, remember, we are viewer-supported, and we appreciate every one of you that partners with us and those of you that help us financially stay on the air, and we appreciate it very much. You can always help us with that by going to the website, hit the donate button, or call the 800 number, and somebody will help you with that. A lot of folks send checks. We get checks almost every day, and we sure appreciate it. We could not be on the air without you.
Amen.
Don't forget, Doc's book is on the website. Go to the website right there over my head there, and click on Doc's bookstore. It'll take you right to. In fact, this will probably be on the front page for a little while anyway. The book. And I think this will be a help to you. I think you'll enjoy it. Hey, get it for a friend. Get it for your pastor. Order two or three of them. And, Doc, just a few more things here. Boy, this, I wish I could get preachers to understand this and the folks I called in what I call the repentance crowd, because I think there's a big misunderstanding of repentance in our movement.
Yeah.
People thinking you got to turn from sins. How do you turn from murder? If you've killed somebody, how do you get saved? How do you turn from that? You can't turn from that. You got to acknowledge I am a sinner. I'm guilty, and we all are. And we got to we got to understand that we're going to sin the rest of your life. You're going to have faults. Everybody has them, and it doesn't mean you're not saved.
Well, I mean, John wrote in one of his little books. He said, "If you say you're without sin, you're a liar."
Yeah.
Because we're still left here with our old nature to have to contend with in a sin-cursed world.
Well, I barely got halfway through my list. Of course, some of these got answered already, even though I didn't ask them, who will be at the judgment seat? All believers.
All believers.
Where it takes place, it's going to be in heaven.
Yep.
The exact part of heaven, who knows? But I wanted to ask you a couple more. Maybe we'll do an update with this or something, but... you had four reasons for the judgment seat, and that was interesting. You had some application here, and it's not condemnation, it's commendation.
Commendation.
That was good.
That's right.
And we didn't get to those things, but they're in the book. And probably best that we don't give it all out and let them get the book. Well, we're out of time. I hope you're ready. I hope you're saved. I hope you'll be at this judgment seat. If you're not saved, you will not. Well, until next time, keep your eyes on them sky. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there. And donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
Yeah. And the website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word of God.
That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Hey, everybody. Let me read a verse for you in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 6. I quote this verse a lot, but let me read it to you. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You know, the apostles had a lot of questions, didn't they? What I'm finding is we all got questions, don't we? And so we're going to do a show today. We've told you about for several weeks now. We've told you to send in some questions. And boy, did you send in some questions. I've got 4 pages of questions from you, the audience. A lot of them are from the YouTube channel. Some of them came in letters, maybe a few in phone calls. I don't know. But we've got questions that we're going to answer today. We're going to try to anyway. By the way, some great questions, good questions. So fasten your safety belt, get some popcorn, whatever you need to do, get you some iced tea, and stand by. We're going to answer your questions right now. All right, welcome everybody. We have got answers for you today, I hope.
I hope.
You had a verse you was going to read for us, Doc.
Yeah, concerning questions, right just in the last week of the Lord's ministry in Luke chapter 21 and verse 7, and they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?
So that's questions.
The end times.
Everyone's got questions.
Yes.
The book of Job, I almost went to the book of Job for the show. Yeah. Job had a lot of questions.
Full of questions, you know, yes.
He wanted to know things. I like doing this. I think it's interesting, and I think it's helpful to people.
Well, if I learned a long time ago in question and answers with churches, two things. There's no ridiculous or stupid question. And if you have a question, there's a bunch of other people have the same question.
Yeah, yeah. And that's true. Every time someone asks a question, there's 8 or 10 other people in the room. Yeah, I got that same question. Mm-hmm. And so, Doc, I've got 4 pages here. And
I doubt we make it all the way through those.
We'll just see how. Now, some of them, I have some names that I'll read. If I have a city, I'll give the city. And I'm going to try to check these off as we go. And
Right. We'll
have to do another one of these in a few weeks.
I'm sure.
Because I was quite impressed when I got the questions. And I've got a couple of people here that sent several questions. And good questions.
Yeah.
Questions that,
right.
Listen, boy, that you can tell a lot about a person from the question they ask.
And the words
they use. The maturity, yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and get started, Doc. Are you ready?
Well, probably not, but...
All right. Let me just pick one off of here. I got several sheets I'm going to be looking at. Roy asked this question, and this is a good one, and this is an important question. Which Bible translation do you use? Now, I think they mean the program or you, I, but it's all the same answer, isn't it?
It's always, whether it's the program or you or I in our ministry, it's the King James Bible.
Yeah, King James Bible.
And I don't even call it the King James Version, even though that's what they call it. I call it the King James Bible.
Yeah, that's why I write the KJB.
I do too.
Instead of the KJV. The KJV makes you think, oh, it's a version, so there's other versions. Yeah. No, it's the King James Bible.
And, it's a translation, not just a version.
So, Roy, I hope that helps you. You'll have to make up your mind. You'll have to decide what you believe about that.
And I have a book called the KJV, The Gold Standard of the Word of God. That will help you make up your mind if you'll read that. And there's other books out there as well, many other good books out there. But you got to be careful. Very few of our people today understand the King James issue. And very, very sad. All right, we got Mama in Christ. Now, this is a YouTube handle, Mama in Christ.
I was going to say, that's an odd name.
Now, this is a good question here. And will the demons be chained up in the millennium with Satan, or will we be ruling over them along with the angels?
Yeah.
Did you understand the question?
Yes, I understood the question. No, the entire demonic kingdom will be chained up.
Yes.
What we will be ruling and reigning over in our new glorified bodies is those that are in their physical bodies, Adamic nature, in the millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because there'll be a lot of people that survive the tribulation. Children will be born. 1,000 years of a progenitive. There'll be lots of people. And we'll be ruling and reigning over humanity in their physical bodies.
Okay. All right. Mama in Christ, hope that hope we answered your question there. And I completely agree. The bottomless pit, Satan's going to be the, the angels, the fallen angels, the demonic powers.
They have no. They would have no power without him being
which
where he
could
give power.
Which is why Satan is loosed for a season.
That's right.
And probably, along with Satan being sent there, the devils are with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's loose for a season, the devils are probably loosed with him, because he's going to deceive the world at the end.
The question I often get is, why in the world does God let him loose? Well, the answer is simple. No, God does not violate anybody's free moral agency. During the millennial reign, everybody will be ruled and reigned over by the Matthew chapter 5, where you find the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll be ruled over. So the devil's let loose at the end of the 1,000 years for man to have the exercise of his free will.
Yep.
Have I just been living conformed to the law, or have I been living transformed?
Because you could ask the same question about, for the last 6,000 years, why did God allow Satan to mess everything up? Well, I'm not sure Satan messed everything up because of man's free choice. Adam and Eve made a choice.
They made a choice.
Now, Eve was deceived in her choice, but Adam chose willingly.
And we have a choice.
Right.
And people say, well, of course, they haven't read Romans chapter 1, because the Bible says that even in nature, God has revealed himself. And an individual who really wants to find God, God will see to it that somebody brings him to the knowledge.
Yeah. Aaron asked this question. Aaron Fletcher asked, why do people not see what is coming? That's a good question. Why do people not see what is coming? And he says, are these people keeping oil in their lamp? Now, there's frustration there.
Well, of course, he's got two things, and maybe he's got the oil in the lamp understanding wrong there. But anyway, there's two reasons, I think, Dan, that people don't see. Number one, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven.
That's exactly right.
And so, number one, the greater problem is the greater majority of people are lost.
Yeah.
Therefore, they do not have the ability to see spiritual. Secondly, even though a person is born again, unless they're walking with the Lord, they do not have the ability of proper discernment to understand the times.
And I'm thinking of that story, that illustration the Lord gave, where he heals a guy and of his blindness.
And he couldn't see clearly.
He says, I see men as trees walking. Mm-hmm. And he touched him again, and then now I see all things clearly. There's a lesson being taught in that illustration.
Yeah. You know, a lot of
that we need God to do something in our life.
You know, I think there's people that are no doubt saved. They've been born again, but they've never been discipled. They've never been helped for whatever reason. But then there are people who, because they just let sin in their lives as a believer, they're not able to discern what's going on.
All right, here's a good question, and thank you, Aaron, for that. Good question. I can't read. This is a YouTube handle again. Something O'Grady. I think it's Toy Teth or something. I don't know. But anyway, O'Grady asked a good question. Does the temple have to be built before the let me see. Does the temple have to be built for things to start? I think he means the tribulation. And I maybe didn't write it properly here.
Well, I got a question yesterday along that lines. Does a temple have to be built before the rapture? And very similar type of question. Yeah. No, but it will be built soon, yeah, if not right at the beginning of the tribulation.
Yeah.
And all things right now are pointing to the fact with the red heifer situation, which would make the temple that they would put up qualified for service after the blood is applied of the red heifer. So it is obvious we are getting very near, yeah, those things.
Yeah.
But the temple will be, no doubt, early, if not at the beginning of the, yeah, tribulation.
Yeah. And let's just take a moment while we're here and pause and tell folks about the book. Many of you, this is the book, the only book that Doc and I have done together. The back cover says, from the studio of Prophecy in the Spotlight TV, best-selling author and host, Evangelist Dan Goodwin, along with your favorite co-host, Dr. Charles Hiltabiddle.
I've got to be favored since I'm the only one.
Somebody said, you need a third chair for Michael Smith. Somebody wrote that on YouTube. So I told him about it. Wanted him to get a big head, but you know. They bring you a new and exciting book called Bible Prophecy Terminology. This book gives a challenging and in-depth look into the various terms that you hear so often. The only reason I bring this up today is this kind of goes hand in hand with what,
yes,
we're doing today.
This
will answer a lot of questions. Like, I just opened the book up. It opened up to page 73. Do, 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 do. No, nothing spooky about it. I just opened it up. White robes. So you want to know what, you might be wondering, what are the white robes in the Bible? Here it is, page 73. And let's see, what do we got? How many pages? By the way, you did this chapter. It's got your name under it. So it's two pages, 73 and 74. And down there in the bottom, in a little box, it says the consistent factor is the color white. And you were bringing out white, mm-hmm, representing, I guess, pureness and,
yes,
purity and all that. And so, folks, if you don't have this yet, it's on the website, prophecyinthespotlight.com. Go there and order you one of them. Order a couple. A lot of folks have been ordering more than one of them.
Giving away.
And to give to their pastor or other, yep, people, friends and whatnot. Well, I happened to scan Doc for a second here, and I happened to see another question here. But before we do, we want to thank the folks who gave, the partners, the financial supporters out there.
Yes.
We have met the need again. We're paid up until next time. So we have something special we're going to be doing. I haven't even talked to you about this, Doc, but a preacher friend gave me some ideas about what we ought to do to try to get some more people on board here. And we're going to be doing that real soon. We'll be letting you know how you can get involved in that. We really need to get more financial help, more
yes,
partners,
yes,
more people with a vision for what we're doing here. And so that we can...
Time is so short, I,
yeah,
believe. We'd like to make as big of an impact as we can.
Yeah. I have my eye set, you know, I know you and I have talked about, I have my eye set on some big networks getting, I mean, cable and satellite and dish and one or two of them big networks, but there are a lot of money.
It'd take us about as much money for 3 months as we do now as for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I believe God can do it. And I believe,
I
believe one of these days, someone's going to, yeah, drop a huge donation and get us on one of them big networks.
Well, I've learned to be thankful with where I am, with what I have, with what God has done. And if God wants to do more through it,
yeah,
fine.
And, okay. So thanks to all of you, our partners out there. And if you're a supporter, keep it coming. It's, yeah, being used. Every penny of it is being used for the ministry here to keep us on the airways. And we're on CTN every Friday. That's nationwide, satellite and dish. We're on VTN in the Arkansas, Missouri areas. And we're on radio and YouTube, Rumble. And your financial help and prayers is why we're here, okay? Here's another question, Doc. This is good. This is good. This is Mama in Christ again. She asked, if an unsaved mortal, as she calls it, an unsaved person, gets saved during the kingdom age, and there will be people saved during the kingdom age.
No doubt.
Because there'll be people born.
That's right.
And Will they immediately get their glorified body? No. Yeah.
Okay. No, there'll be another final resurrection at the end of the millennial reign.
Okay.
And that's when they'll get theirs.
So during the, of course, you and I will be there in our glorified mm-hmm. body, but people born there or lost people that get mm-hmm. saved,
yeah.
they'll be just like we are now,
yes.
but they won't have the glorified body.
They'll still have to wait until the end of time.
So we'll be able to fun with it. We'll be able to zip in there and zip out yep. and disappear and make fun. And
people don't realize that you'll be able to travel at the speed of thought.
Wow. Wow. Good question there. Thank you. Here's another good one. This is also from Mom in Christ. She had three of them here. And I want to get this because it's so good, her question. Will women saints fight at the Battle of Armageddon or just men? And I already know the answer to this.
Go ahead.
The answer is neither.
You got
neither.
It.
Men or women, we don't get to fight. And I joke about it all the time.
We're just gazers.
Yeah, we're coming with them he's on the white horse. We're coming with him.
We're witnesses.
But it's going to end just like that with the word of his mouth.
Of his
he
mouth.
Ends the Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah.
So neither male or female are going to fight
right.
in that battle.
And I think, Dan, it's pretty obvious, just like angels are neither sex, I'm not so sure our souls will be as necessary as we are today.
Yeah, and that's another question for another day. That's
yes.
that's good, you know, because the Bible says in heaven we neither marry nor are given in marriage.
Yeah,
now it doesn't necessarily say that we're sexless,
right.
but we don't marry up there, and mm-hmm. we're not given in marriage because that question was asked in the Bible.
Right,
whose wife, whose husband will you know? Mm-hmm. You've had you know, oh no, it was a woman that had several men
yeah.
that died. She was married mm-hmm. like three times. So who gets her when they get mm-hmm. to heaven? They're trying to stump the Lord.
Yeah.
You can't stump Jesus.
But nobody does because there's no such thing as that.
Yeah, they don't marry.
It's only in this life. It's in this life for many reasons. But anyway, that'd be for another subject.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Now, some of these are not prophecy questions, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these, there's several salvation-type questions, and I think that's important. Here's a question from Ramona in Minnesota, and I've got several questions from her. She was sending them to my phone, and I said, look, I'll answer these on the program. So mm-hmm. so I didn't answer any of these on the phone. She says, if you believe that Christians cannot lose their salvation, this came up, I think, from a Facebook Live that I did or something. And I think Ramona's maybe struggling with some of this, trying to understand eternal security or something.
Sure.
And so she says, since you believe Christians cannot lose their salvation because of sin, why did Jesus tell the pastor of the church in Sardis that their works were not found perfect before God and to repent otherwise? Otherwise, he will come as a thief in an hour that they know not. And I think I did send her a little blip here.
Yeah.
I said, this is talking to a church,
it's talking to
not an individual.
It's talking to a church, not an individual. And even there, it's talking about their works. And your works has nothing to do with you getting saved or you keeping saved.
That's right.
Or you're losing. There's no losing what belongs to him. And salvation places you in Christ and Christ in God,
yeah.
sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Now, the Lord had a problem with the activity of the church
yes.
and the condition of the church
yes.
and what they were doing and not
yes.
doing and called them on the carpet.
That's right.
Now, she also wrote in here, in parentheses, I believe referring to missing the rapture. She seems to be thinking that this will keep someone from the rapture,
no.
and that is not true.
She needs to get my book on the rapture question, and I answer that to several details.
Okay, so that's on your website. Go to our spotlight.com, mm-hmm. click on Doc's bookstore. He has a book about the rapture question. That's the name
question.
Of it.
And seven reasons for the rapture.
Yeah.
But
there is no partial rapture.
There's no partial rapture. Just as you don't lose your salvation, so if you're saved, you're going.
That's
because
right.
when you're born again, you're placed in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and you're as good as if you're in heaven already.
Yeah.
You're just waiting for the translation from
yeah.
this body to the next.
Folks, there's not one thing you can do or did do to earn one speck of
no.
God's grace. Not
no.
one. There's nothing. When I got saved July 4th, 1981, I fell on my face and I was guilty. And I knew it. There was nothing I could do. I was a sinner. I'm on my way to hell, and I knew it. I knew the only hope I had was the grace of God, and I trusted Him. Now, that same faith and that same grace keeps me saved. I'm kept by the power of God, the Bible says. In my book, what's the name of that book? Oh, right here. The Great End Time Apostasy. I have a section here about eternal security and dispensational yep. salvation and the fact that it's always been grace from Genesis 3 yes. all the way to Revelation. It's grace. And I promise you that's true. I can prove that. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham believed God and was accounted him for righteousness. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
And I'll, you know, I'll stand before him in the last day. Nobody's going to heaven ever. And from Adam all the way to the last guy.
Based on works.
Based on works or anything they did to get them saved or to keep themselves right. saved. And so I think a lot of people are struggling with this, but I think we've helped some people as well, yeah. Dog. Okay, so this is a long question. I maybe I won't read the rest of it here, but she goes on talking about others who are not living overcoming lives were in danger of having the name blotted out of the book of life. No, the book of life there's in Revelation, if your name's not in the book of life, then it goes to the other books.
That's right.
You're already doomed
when
at that
you were
point.
Born again, your name was recorded in the Lamb's right. book of life. That's heaven's registry of born-again people.
So if your name's there, no other books. In fact, you're not even at the great white throne if your name's
that's
in
right.
that book. He's just being a he's just being a proper judge and going through all the motions, making sure
he's
your
showing
name.
You, here's your name's not written in the Lamb book of life.
Therefore, you're judged according to your works.
Yes.
Meaning, in my opinion, there's different degrees of eternal suffering.
I have a booklet they could get on my website called The Great White Throne Judgment of God that clears that up for you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Ramona, for that. Here's another question from Ramona. This is more prophecy related. Who do you think is Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17? And I think we all read that wrong. There's a comma there, isn't there? It's a mystery.
Yeah.
Babylon the Great. Revelation 17, in my opinion, is the religious Babylon, like the church. Revelation 18, I think, is more talking about the political. Remember, we're always saying that.
You got all three. You got the religious, political, and commercial
yeah.
sides of Babylon.
Yeah. And I think Revelation 17, I'm convinced that that's talking about the religious side of Babylon. It's kind of like I illustrated in my book with Congress. We talk about Congress. Well, Congress is made up of two bodies, mm-hmm. the House and the Senate.
Right.
And it's one Congress made up of two separate bodies, two entities there. Babylon is one big system, but it has a religious side and a political side. And here's where people get confused. They think, well, Jesus is the religious side. No, he's coming to set up a kingdom. Yeah. He's the political side yeah. of this thing.
Because he's already taken care of the religious yeah. side. And that's what you're seeing, Mystery Babylon is a system.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a particular country.
Right.
It is a system, but it takes you back. If you go to Zechariah chapter number 5, you'll find that system is referred to back to the land of Shinar. And so, in other words, what began at Mystery Babylon with Nimrod's world is what the world is returning to again.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we see parts of this system throughout the statue that Daniel saw, the kingdoms of the mm-hmm. world and... okay, good questions here, good questions. And let's move on to something else. I'll get some more of Ramona's maybe next time when we do a show. Here's Jonathan, and I think he's down in Tennessee. And I spent 3 hours on the phone with Jonathan. He's pastored before. He's a good man. And I'm going to meet him one of these days. He says, Pastor Dan, I'll admit I have trouble sometimes with unconditional eternal security, not according to loss because of works, but because of apostasy or loss of faith. So in other words, he says, I know I can't sin and lose my salvation, but what about if we lose our faith? And I answered this way, Doc, and it's up to you if you want to add something here. I said, can a baby be unborn?
Yeah.
Once you're born, you can't be unborn.
Right.
That baby grows up and doesn't live right. It's still your son,
absolutely,
still your child. It's physically impossible to unborn somebody. Mm-hmm. When you're spiritually born, that's even a stronger born,
that's right,
isn't it?
Yes.
And so that was my answer there. Apostasy, I believe a lot of that is saved people who lose their faith.
Yeah, I think to help people, if you'll get a proper understanding out of the book of Hebrews, because that's what the book of Hebrews primarily is all about. A great number of people were turning back to Judaism, recanting their religious faith, and Paul goes on, I believe, who's the writer there, goes on to help them by the middle of the book to help them understand they never were part of us.
Yeah. Here's a good question from, thank you, Jonathan. Here's a good question from James. He says, question, those brothers and sisters in Christ who make it to the Bema seat judgment, he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, which is saved people, and receive no reward. Now, that's 1 Corinthians 3, I believe, the wood, hay, and stubble and all that. What kind of life, here's his question, what kind of life did somebody live that would cause them to receive no reward, yet they are saved? That's a good
question.
They'll
have some reward in the fact that they believed on Christ.
Yeah.
And there may be some others that...
And that they're at that judgment instead of the white throne
they're
judgment.
They're at that judgment. Here's what they need to understand is the judgment seat of Christ, we call it that, the Bema seat, it's not really as much a judgment as it is a reward.
Yeah,
for the life we've lived in service of allowing the Holy Spirit working through us to be used in the kingdom work.
Yeah.
And those things will, I believe, translate over into responsibilities during the millennial reign. And, that's why the Bible says, saved you at such by fire. I would certainly, at least you want to be there and have the rest of eternity to live in glory.
Yep. All right, we got another minute, Doc, so real quick, let's try to get another question in here. This is from BAM22, whatever that is. That's YouTube. Question, Petra in Jordan, an Arab monarchy bordered by Saudi Arabia. Is Jordan a friend of Israel? And if not, then how will Jordan allow or permit those that escape Matthew 24 from the housetops
right,
when they run for their
right,
lives? He or she's question is, how do they get through there to Petra, if that's where they're going? How is that going to happen?
Well, you need to understand modern-day Jordan. You'll find in, I believe it's the 49th chapter of Jeremiah, you'll find judgment yet against Ammon, Moab.
And we only got 30 seconds.
And Edom. Those are the three areas that make up Jordan today. What you're talking about here is in ancient Elam. Or Edom, that's the descendants of Esau. And there's judgment against them, chapter 49, I believe. And you'll find that God's going to take care of that, and they will have a way to be able to get there.
Okay. We know they will, because the Bible says that they're going to run for their lives. And,
But the modern-day Jordan is actually ancient Moab, and then Ammon, and ancient Elam.
Okay. Well, folks, we ran out of time, but we're going to do another one of these. Give us a couple of weeks. We're going to come back and do another, and we got more of your questions here. Until then, keep your eyes on them skies.